Chapter 23. The next morning, Lexi and Cassie were in the kitchen of the Cup and Cake, just after the morning rush. So, Nans and the ladies solved another case. Cassie opened the oven, and the sugary scent of almond scones wafted out. Yeah, but don't say it that way to John. Jack thinks they solved it. Lexi picked up an eclair, careful not to touch the chocolate icing dripping down the sides, as she placed it next to another eclair on the doily-covered stand. Cassie laughed. They always do. I'm sure they helped, Lexi joked as she placed the last eclair on the stand. Nance just has a slight advantage because she can talk to people on a different level. They tend to clam up when the cops ask questions. Anyway, I know Jack and John would have figured it out, but Nans had some information just a bit sooner than they did. It seems like Jack didn't mind you investigating this time. Cassie gently slid the scones from the baking tray onto a wire rack to cool. I know, right? We shared clues and everything. Well, except for one clue that he held back. Then again, maybe I didn't fill him in as soon as I could have on everything Nans and I discovered. So I guess we're even. The bells over the door tinkled, and Lexi carefully picked up the stand with the eclairs on it. I'll take care of this round of customers. You finish the baking. Out front, Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen hovered in front of the bakery case. Outside, Ruth's blue Olds was precariously parked with its tires half on the sidewalk. Morning, ladies. Lexi slid the back door of the case open and nestled the stand between a platter of cannoli and a tiered stand filled with Danish. And a lovely morning it is. Nans gestured to indicate the sunny day outside. It's always a good day when an investigation comes to a satisfactory conclusion. You can say that again, Ruth said. Sure is, Helen added. I'll take a cinnamon scone and a blonde brownie. Ida's gnarled index finger tapped the glass in front of the items she wanted. Lexi pulled a bakery tissue from the box, grabbed Ida's items, and put them on one of the paper plates she kept for customers eating in-house. Nans ordered a blueberry muffin and pistachio biscotti, and Ruth ordered a snickerdoodle cookie and coffee cake. Lexi plated them all up before sliding the case door closed. Ahem. Helen stood in front of the case, a look of annoyance on her face. I'll have a bear claw. Lexi exchanged a surprised look with Nans and the other ladies, then reopened the case and took out the pastry for Helen. Taking a break from your low-carb diet? Ida asked Helen as they made their way toward the cafe tables. Nope. Gone off it completely. Apparently, Helen couldn't wait to get those carbs in, because she picked up the large pastry and took a big bite while she was still walking. Did you know that it turns out a low-carb diet is actually bad for your health? Really? Ruth scrunched her nose and gave her friend a disbelieving look. Everything I've read says it's quite healthy. Not in my case. Helen swallowed another bite of her enormous pastry. I snuck into the kitchens for pie crust while a murderer was lurking about. I could have been killed. Ruth laughed, Ida snorted, and Nans shook her head. Let's sit outside. Nans pointed to the cafe tables on the sidewalk before heading to the coffee station. It was self-serve, but Lexi helped the ladies with their coffee, pouring the steaming brown liquid into the white ceramic mug she kept on hand for patrons, before pouring one for herself and heading out to the table, where Ida already had a napkin tucked into her blouse and was digging into her pastry. The tables were shaded from the sun, making the mid-morning temperature a perfect 78 degrees. The faint sound of rushing water from the waterfall across the street made for relaxing background music. Nans broke off a small piece of her blueberry muffin and tossed it on the sidewalk. Two brown sparrows immediately swooped down to fight over it. That was some pretty spectacular detective work on your part, Nans, Lexi said over the rim of her coffee mug. Especially the way you put it all together so quickly there at the end. Nans shrugged, pulled off the top of her muffin, and nibbled on the edge. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree in our family. You have some pretty good powers of deduction yourself. And it doesn't hurt that you can use your powers of persuasion to get information out of Jack. Ida waggled her eyebrows. It was really a simple matter of deduction, although I almost missed the real clue, Nan said. What was that? Lexi asked. Sylvia's earrings. I had noticed that she was wearing the diamonds instead of her usual pearls, and when someone mentioned that Howard bought Mary a small gift, it did cross my mind that the gift might have been those earrings. But Jack discovered that Howard bought emeralds before I could say anything about it. It wasn't until later that I realized Sylvia wasn't wearing the pearl earrings because one had fallen into the pie.
Yeah, about those pies, Ida looked at Lexi. Did Jack ever say what happened to them?
I'm afraid he had to throw them out, Lexi said. Ida shook her head.
What a waste.
Sylvia might have gotten away with the whole thing if Chandler Bennington hadn't agreed to come here and present the book, Ruth said.
It's ironic, because Mary had to try hard to talk him into it, and it was such a coup for her to get him to come. She'd still be alive if she hadn't tried so hard, Helen said.
Nans tossed another small piece of her muffin to the birds. Now three were fighting over it. Sylvia knew that Chandler would take one look at that book and know it was a fake. But one of her downfalls was that she told us she'd never talked to Chandler, when in fact he'd contacted her a few times about the book. Remember? He said she kept it locked up tighter than the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then she tried to set up poor Howard, Ida said, polishing off the last of her cinnamon scone before dusting the powdered sugar and cinnamon that had been sprinkled on top from her hands. All to make the motive seem it was about getting Mary out of the way. Ruth sniffed.
Yes, poor Howard, misguided cheater that he was. She faked Lorelai's signature, too, on that note she slipped under Howard's plate at the party.
Nans nodded. Apparently she knew all along about the two of them. She was trying to set him up so that he'd be in the closet alone and have no alibi. Lorelai didn't even know about the meeting, just as she said. She was very clever. Lexi reached over and pinched a tiny piece from the corner of Ida's blonde brownie, earning a dirty look from Ida. She made all those insinuations when we questioned her about Howard, but wasn't too obvious about it. Ruth nodded, and she never named Lorelai, knowing that if we figured it out on our own, it wouldn't be obvious that she was trying to manipulate us. It's too bad she's a killer, Nan said. With a devious mind like that, she might make a good detective.
Ruth nodded.
True. She even included that little tidbit about the new life insurance policy to make it juicier. Talk about manipulation. Except she screwed up there. Ida moved her brownie farther from Lexi to discourage more pilfering. She thought the policy was on Mary, but it was really on Howard.
Turns out he just wanted to help out Dottie's grandson, Ruth said. And I found out that he had no intention of divorcing Mary. He and Lorelai were happy with the way things were going. I kind of wish he turned out to be the killer. Can't stand a cheater. Nan sighed. Sylvia made another mistake. She never mentioned being at the front door with the bibs to us. Lorelai must have caught her just after she slipped back in, and she made the excuse that she was getting the bibs. She wouldn't want anyone to tell the police she'd been outside. But when we asked her, she simply said she had been tasked with talking to Chandler. She never mentioned the bibs because she probably didn't want to draw attention to the fact that she was near the door. I bet she told Jack the same story. I'm surprised she was flexible enough to climb out the window after killing Mary and then run around to the front of the center. But she didn't want to risk people saying they saw her come out from the hallway, so it was the only way. The police would never think a woman her age would climb out the window, Ruth said. Ida scowled at Ruth. Speak for yourself. We do have to admit she was very clever, Lexi said. But not as clever as us, Helen added. Well, Ruth raised her coffee mug in a toast. Congrats to us on another case solved. And for working together with Jack this time, Lexi added, clinking her cup with theirs. Yes, Nan said. I hope we can work together with him more in the future. Helen sat back from the table, brushing crumbs from the front of her dress. Guess it's back to the boring daily grind for now, eh? I don't know about that, Ida said, her grin devious. With Mary gone and Sylvia locked up, there's two new openings at the community center, and there's going to be an election. You know how cutthroat those can be. Could make for some good entertainment. Anyone interested in running?